We do have several prayer requests this morning. This first one is for Shelley Lindbergh, and she was taken by ambulance to the hospital in Oklahoma City yesterday, I believe. She's very sick, dealing with cellulitis, and she turned septic. And so we want to remember her. And then we want to pray for the family of Lucille Moores, who went to her heavenly home this last Thursday. And then Jeanette Horn has been in Oklahoma City in rehab from recovering from some broken bones. But today she's getting to move to the rehab in Hydro, which is where she lives. So she's really looking forward to getting to go back home and closer to home. And then we also want to pray for Gavin Torres, who is supposed to have brain surgery today. Wow. Okay.
Well, let's pray. Lord, we come to you once again as thankful people, as grateful people, but now with our petitions. And we're praying for Shelley Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm.
Lindbergh, who was in the hospital. Now she went by ambulance. She's sick, dealing with a whole bunch of things. I was turned septic, and it just like the things just seem to go from bad to worse. But Lord, we know you can just heal her. So Lord, we call upon you to heal Shelley and return her to us with a testimony. And we pray for the family of Lucille Moores, who's passed, but she's with you. But Lord, we're praying for peace that goes beyond understanding. We're praying that if anyone in that family does not know you, they come to know you and come to claim you as Lord. They repent of the ways of the world and begin seeking you. But Lord, for now, grant them peace beyond what they can understand. And we pray for Jeanette Horn, who I guess is, we're praying in celebration and also for continued recovery.
That's right.
She gets to come closer to home. But Lord, we want you to work with her all through her recovery, bring her back to good health. And Lord, we just thank you that you brought her close to home. Did you read that one?
Oh, that's old.
That's
I think.
Old. Okay. Yeah. All right. Give Tom stuff that he's got to figure out. This is a tough one here. We're praying for Gavin Torres, who has brain surgery, and to me that's still not as advanced as medicine is. When you start messing around in the brain, that's a big thing. So, Lord, we're asking you to be there every step of the way. Be with the surgeon no matter how modern the technique, Lord, just bring Gavin through this or help them repair what needs repaired. And, Lord, give him a testimony that he will come of what you did in healing him. And Lord, we lift up all these to you in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City has Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, and again at 6 on Sunday evening. Then on Tuesday evening, they have a prayer meeting at 6, and Thursday evening, they have Bible study. That church is led by Apostle Casey Elliott. And then the Refuge Church, which is non-denominational church, is at 18410 Highway 152 at Sayre. That's 3 miles west of Sayre. And it's inside a barn. There's a sweet, beautiful worship center. They have Sunday school at 10 on Sunday morning. Worship begins at 10:45, Sunday evening Bible studies at 6. And then they have Bible study on Wednesday at 7 and a youth group at 7. If you need more information, you can call Pastor Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com. Let us pray.
Nope, we're not ready for the outro. You know, Tom, I've just been thinking about the many things that you've gone over this morning, and something that just kept laying heavy on my heart. We're supposed to be holy as He is holy, and we live in this fallen world, and we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. And some of our favorite, we don't watch TV much, but I record several shows, and some shows that I've really liked up until recently, more so, because in two of the shows, they have openly gay people that are engaged in, you know, a conversation and sometimes hugging, sometimes kissing. And it's like, why can't we just have a good show? Why do we have to keep pushing that on the people? I mean, I know why they're doing it, because they're trying to get us accustomed to going along with that. And it's just so frustrating to me, because like I say, we don't watch TV very much. And these couple of shows that we've liked now have gay people that are acting out their part as a gay person. And it's just so dadgum frustrating to me that, you know, that we can't have some normal good old cowboy shows like we used to have, I guess, or something. I mean, just good shows that have a good story to them without having that thrown in our face.
Well, I wish I could give you an explanation in the cure. Mm-hmm. The world's not interested in the cure. The world is putting gratuitous things in just because a group's clamoring for them. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, they're not preaching to itching ears, but they're trying to tickle the ears of people who might buy products or advertisers and those sort of things. And they've done that for years. I mean, same thing happened with sex and violence and everything else. I mean, nothing wrong with having sex. There's marriage is the right place for that to happen. Sometimes you have to have violence. God sent His people in, and, you know, in combat, they ran mm-hmm. people out of, but we saw more and more of that. Now we're seeing the other things in the other areas, and the homosexual thing has been a big deal for 20 years, and it's now coming more and more into mainstream, this transsexual stuff, this LGBTQT, I don't know all the letters, mm-hmm. Is being pushed in everywhere, and sometimes it doesn't even fit with the story. They just had to stick it in. But that's, realize that story's produced by the world. There are some Christian producers and things out there that, you know, it's a pretty narrow field to look at, but if you don't want to have to contend with what the world's doing, we can do that, or we can also realize that the days are evil. That's mm-hmm. what Paul says, the days are evil. But he says, you be wise anyway. You be wise. There are some networks out there, I don't remember which one it was, USA or something, take some of those shows and bleeps out all the words, or they don't bleep them, they just edit them out as if they were never said. Say, okay, that was a pretty good show. I mean, it's, I think I've said it before, I think Bruce Willis is a fantastic actor, and he could have done a lot of those shows without that language, mm-hmm. Because he did shows like that without mm-hmm. that language before, and it's like, well, why do you have to give in to that? And a lot of it's going to be, well, the actors say, I don't want to say those words. The actor's going to say, I don't want to take that role. Mm-hmm. You've got that role, give it to someone else, but we don't control what they do, okay, and money controls a lot of what they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what their personal ambitions. But we're told we can be wise, even though the world is evil. And so it's out there. It might be frustrating. And it bothers me because there's a lot of good shows I like. And I'm going along and the story's really good. And then someone throws in some language or something mm-hmm. just off the wall that, you know, why did that even need to be there? Well, because someone thought they had to appeal to that audience. And guess what? Not every movie appeals to me. So I don't know why they think it needs to appeal to that group. Or any group that, you know, is pushing things contrary to God. And I'm going to tell you, I watch a lot of crime shows, okay? And there's a lot of crimes that are not good, mm-hmm. okay? But it's like I like the mystery part and the solving part. And fortunately, most of them don't have the bad language and things like that or graphic scenes. But when you go back to it, you know, we our human nature kind of craves looking at the stuff we're not supposed to look at. Did not know what sin was until it said, don't covet. Didn't even think about kicking the cat till someone said, don't kick the cat. It's that whole, we have that nature. But Paul tells us, be wise in spite of your nature that wants to see what's going on in the evil world. So it's a struggle for us. We're told that we're going to have these struggles. We are told to grow in God's grace, which means that, yeah, we're going to struggle. Sometimes we'll fall. Sometimes we'll skin our knees. Sometimes it won't be right, but we confess. We get back in our race. You know, God will never stop loving us.
That's right.
That's what we need to remember. It's like, okay, boy, I messed that one up. I shouldn't have gone along with that. Shouldn't have repeated that stupid, dirty joke. I mean, it seemed funny to me, but, you know, probably could have lived my life just as abundantly without ever having repeated that joke. So I don't know. It's a struggle, and maybe it needs to be a struggle. Maybe we need to commit more and more. Maybe we need to take every thought comes in our mind, take it captive, make it. Maybe we're supposed to grow in that mental discipline. Maybe we're supposed to grow in those ways. And I think we are. We say, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord. I profess, you know, he's my Savior. And in that moment, we're saved. But our discipleship's some work. We got to go along and go, okay, man, that was a good story. Why did they put that in there? Now I got to decide, do I want to watch the rest of the story, not watch it? You know, just fast forward through that part, those sort of things. And it's like, you know, this discipleship, it's a little bit of work. Salvation's assured because I didn't have to do anything. God did it all. Boy, I'm glad he did. Because if I had to work for it, we'd still be kind of, you know, checking the balance every day. But I think that's just part of our discipleship. And frustration might be part of it. But anytime we're frustrated, we should probably pray and say, God, show me my next step. And he will. And maybe it's not to watch that. Maybe it's to mute that. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, well, I'll just go read my Bible another hour a day instead of watching a show I used to watch, or go check on my neighbors next door and see if they need some help and go build a fence for them. I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of things we can do back before television came into our lives, back before media of all sorts came into our lives. You know, we talked to our neighbors and we did stuff with them and we sat on our front porch. Maybe we need to build some more front porches. I don't know. But my neighbor, John Stott, didn't have a front porch, but he had a little sidewalk on the front. I'd go over there and sit with him, and we'd solve all the problems of the world. I don't know why, you know, they didn't all go away, but we would sit there and just talk with your neighbor. It's just kind of a good thing that maybe we want to get back to. So I can't fix your TV shows for you, Aneva. They're going to be there. They might change if the public stops watching them. You know, they do react to the fact they're not making any money. And some would advocate, you know, social movements. I would just advocate, love your neighbor. You know, do the wise things. Do what God told us to do. But understand that discipleship is going to be a struggle. Mm-hmm. We're still wrestling with that world we live in. We're not part of it. We're still living there. So there's some wrestling matches. And some of those wrestling matches, it kind of leads me into where I'm going on the next part here, are opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
The world is evil, but we have opportunities in that world. And the first opportunity we have is when we wake up. And I think when we wake up right at that moment, we need to say, I'm going to bring glory to God today. Now, I might have to reconvince myself of that 5 minutes later because the world's going crazy. But I'm going to do something that pleases God. I'm going to bring glory to God. I need to wake up and realize I have a bunch of moment-to-moment decisions to make to bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we need to do. We also need to wake up. And this is an opportunity we need to take, and it might be the first opportunity that gets us going. Wake up to the fact we are to live, not just exist. We are to live, not just drift through life. We are to live because God gave us purpose. God gave us things to do. And we were told that God made that list even before we were born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've been made in this new creation so we can do those good things now. So we need to wake up to the fact God has good things for me to do. It's not like I got to figure out what's going on. God already has figured out what I'm supposed to do. And these are good things that please him, that show love for him and my neighbor. And so our first opportunity is to wake up and commit that day to bring glory to God and wake up to the fact this is life and we get to live it. The next one comes in marital relationships. Men choose to love their wives unconditionally. Wives choose to respect their husbands unconditionally. It all falls under the umbrella of love. Both need love and respect. But, you know, if the wives will say, I'm going to respect my husband a little bit more than I did in the past, and husbands will say, okay, regardless of what's going on in the world, I'm going to love my wife unconditionally, I think we see that as a very, very big opportunity to grow a rich family, just to grow a very, very rich relationship that has God in the middle. And you know, some people still wrestle with, well, I don't know if I should respect him or not. Well, that's what God says. Start with respect, okay? Start with love and do both of those, and you're going to get to a really good place in your marriage. And the next opportunity we have has to do with our children. We're told bring them up in the way they should go. Okay, is that a command? It's a command. It's a direct. It's an opportunity as well. I have a chance to influence this person that's been blessed into my family. They're a blessing. I have a chance to influence them to live to the glory of God for all of their lives. Bring them up in the way they should. Later on, they won't depart from it. Doesn't mean they skip their teenage years. They're still going to have those struggles like we have struggles now, and we had struggles. Well, I don't know if I had struggles as a teen. I knew everything, so I don't know how I could ever struggle. But, you know, we have those years we go through, but the promise is bring them up in the way they should go. Later on, they won't depart from it. That's an opportunity for us, and we should take that opportunity and just maximize it. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. Sometimes we forget our families, our husbands and wives. Each other. We're an opportunity to bring glory to God by having this rich marriage. We're an opportunity to raise up kids in the right way. And so they go out and they want to share with others. We had one young man, one of the Delp grandkids, came up and wanted a wristband. So I found him some, found big ones and little ones. And I found out that if he takes more than one home, he gives them away. So that's what they're designed for. Yeah, and he's already getting these. He probably doesn't understand fully what it is to love one another, but he's being brought up in the way he should go. He's starting to understand this, and it's a good thing. We have opportunities in when we raise our children. And I also like to say we have opportunities with other people's children too. We often see a lot of them on Wednesday nights when we're doing our Wednesday nights, and that might be the only opportunity these kids have during that week to understand what God's love is. Now, I know at schools a lot of teachers are very strong Christians, and they shepherd these kids more than they just teach them. Mm-hmm. But when they go to their homes, who knows what they're getting. So right. We have opportunities with our own children all the time and with others' children much of the time. The next opportunities come outside of the walls of our homes. They are, as Paul would say in the Colossians, when we go do our jobs, he says, work as if you're working for the Lord and not for men. It's the Lord Christ you serve. We have opportunities at our jobs. Not just, you know, you don't have to go around and preach on the corner on your lunch break. You know, you don't have to do that. You can if you want. You try to be an evangelist. But the very way you do your job shows that you follow God. Work as if you are working for the Lord, not for men. What's the favorite pastime at most jobs? Complaining about the boss, or complaining about your coworkers, or complaining about something. And you can be the guy who doesn't complain, who just does an excellent job in everything. You can be the lady who doesn't complain, just does excellent in everything. And that will be setting an example for others. And they'll say, well, don't you ever complain? I'm working for the Lord. Yeah, this guy gives me my paycheck, but I know where it came from. I'm working for the Lord, not for men. In fact, the Lord has an inheritance stored up for me, so I'm doing a really, really good job here. Mm-hmm. And I want to, and I don't have to complain about the boss because I know he's really not the boss, okay? I know who's in charge, and this is my job. I'm thankful to have my job. You know, I'm thankful when I get a raise. I'm thankful if I get a promotion. I'm thankful for all these things, but don't have to complain. I mean, I'm working as if I'm working for the Lord. And that's Paul's counsel. You don't get that till Colossians, but that's okay. These letters he wrote are all very coherent when you put them all together. So this is some really good counsel here for people in 2022. We get to see the whole picture. And it's like, okay, yeah, work as if you're working for the Lord. So that takes us outside the walls of our home. Everything else is kind of starting inside our home. I wake up, I'm committing my day to the Lord. I'm committing to my husband or my wife. Okay, I'm committing to this opportunity with my children, and now I'm going to go to work, whatever that might be, or maybe I'm going to go to school. I think it'd be okay to say go to school as if you're learning for the Lord. Mm-hmm. You go in there and have what I would call a teachable spirit, ready to learn. And then we have a standing directive as we venture out from our houses, from our homes, to love one another. Jesus said, as much as I have loved you, so you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple. Guess what? That's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Every person we come across, every decision we make, we should put it in the context of, how do I love one another? How do I show God's love? And that's an opportunity. And sometimes we think, oh, man, I should have talked to that person. Oh, I should have. And we go from I should have to, hello, How are you today? And the conversation may lead to inviting them to church. It may just lead to how they're feeling, and you need to comfort them and pray with them. But they're opportunities. And if you don't take the opportunities, you don't know where it would have led you. And too many times, I should have talked to that person. I should have stopped in to see him. I only needed a buck. I should have given him a buck. It was, all these things. And they're tough things, but we're told we can make wise decisions in an age that's evil. And that's kind of the message I was presenting yesterday, though. Go through all of Paul's stuff. You get a bunch of messages. But The one I said take home with you is we can live in an age that's evil, and we can be wise. We can be wise in the age that's evil. And we should also remember we are commissioned. We're not just living. We're not just excited that we're saved. We're not just saying, oh, thank you, God, I got an inheritance. He gave us a pretty important mission. In fact, he commissioned us. He gave us authority with it to go do it and take this gospel of love and peace and salvation to the world. And I should frame all of my decisions. I should be careful in my decisions. Will this get someone who's lost closer to repentance and closer to seeking the one true God? And sometimes we get a lot of should have done that, should have said that, should have. And we need to get out of the should have business and into the I did that, I talked to them, I'm praying with them now, we're doing this. And we may or may not see the results right then, but we know we're supposed to do that. We know that a careful step, a step taken with care, would lead me to talk to that person about the Lord. The days are evil. A lot of minefields out there, a lot of trouble out there, but we can focus on our opportunity. I started this talking about focus. If you can't hit the target, what are you focused on? I said it should be the things that please God. Now I want to ask us to focus on the things that make the most of our opportunities. This will also please God. But it's our focus. What are we looking at? What's in our sights? What's our target? And are we looking at that target? Are we focused on everything that could go wrong? Are we focused on all those minefields? Are we focused on all the stuff out there that's, man, that's just not godly stuff? Yeah, it's out there. But I'm focused on what can I do with my opportunities. And I think that would be the challenge that I'd want to leave with people. What did we do with our opportunities? And before we left the sanctuary yesterday, I told people that we can live wisely in the age of evil. And I said, and Tom's a little bit on the ornery side because he wants to put this in a first-person challenge. So we all said, I can live wisely in an age that is evil. I can live wisely in an age that is evil. And we need to affirm with ourselves, I can make good choices. I can make godly choices. I can do this. Yeah, the world's evil, but I can do this. I can keep this in my sights. I can hit this target. I can do this. And we don't have to fix the whole world. But we have been equipped to help part of it, to go out and reach out to others and make the most of our opportunities. So I think I'll wrap my part up there and see what y'all got to say.
I think every morning, you touched on this, every morning we get up, we need to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? Lead me in the path that I need to go to maybe touch the life of someone and not hit them over the head with the Bible particularly, but let Jesus shine through us in our word, in our deed, in our disposition, in our smile. Don't go around looking like you've sucked a sour pickle all day. I mean, let the Lord shine through you. And just that in itself will resonate with people that you've got a little something different in your life than what maybe they have. And I think it's just very important that we are always on the lookout for how God would like for us to minister to someone. Maybe it's just, sometimes at the restaurant, I'll see one of the girls that just looks down that day, and I'll go, are you doing okay today? Do I need to, can I pray with you? And those are things that we need to ask the Lord to give us a discerning spirit about what he wants us to do. And those things in themselves will help to rein other people in to come to know the Lord, I think.
So you're putting out a bolo on opportunities. Be on the lookout for those opportunities. All right.
I like it, a bolo.
Yeah, there we go. All right, yeah, you said sucking a sour pickle all day, and I thought to the Pharisees who were fasting, walked around like, oh, I'm doing so much for God. Oh, it's so tough. And Jesus said, don't hang your heads. If you're doing it for God, put a smile on your face. I mean, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And I think that's part of the way we need to start our days. Mm-hmm. Lord, if you want me to wade through, field full of mud to do what I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. This is what you said will bring glory to you, whatever it is. And it's a challenge for me all the time as I I have a window to who pulls up in our parking lot, and I have to not judge anyone by their vehicle or by their clothes. I just have to say, okay, Lord, get me ready for whatever it is you want me to do. And because I'm surprised frequently the people that come in that look like they don't have anything that want to give, and people that look like they have everything, they're trying to get something, and it's like, Lord, I need your discernment here. Most of all, I need to share your love. But you kind of have to prepare yourself to look for the opportunities. What is this person really needing? And often when you do that, you'll get to the need, and you figure out how to help. And sometimes we're still frustrated. I know even this age is frustrating sometimes. People aren't ready to hear. Doesn't change what we do. We can still be wise, make wise decisions, share God's love in an age that's evil. Mm-hmm. We keep doing what we know to do.
You know, I've been working with one of our tenants and encouraging her to come to church. And so she comes sometimes. And yesterday was one of the days that she came. And, you know, I sense her thinking about, as we're singing some of these songs, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus, or just things like that. And so I said to her yesterday, are you ready to make this decision yet? She's like, no, not today. You know, I believe there's a Jesus. And I'm like, of course, she doesn't know how to whisper, so I didn't want to pursue that conversation much. I said, so would you like to talk to the preacher? No, not today. But she said, you know, I see how happy you and Joe are. Well, because we have the love of the Lord in us, I think that shows, and it's one of my prayers almost every single time I pray is, Lord, let people see you in us. Don't just see us. Let people see you in us.
It's not because you hadn't gone through trials.
That's exactly right. But I just thought when she made that comment, dadgummit, today is the day of salvation. You know, what if you don't live till tomorrow? What if you die tonight, you know, with a heart attack? You knew there was a Jesus, but you just won't accept him. But
like Paul, was it before Festus? Is that who it was who was almost persuaded?
Almost persuaded.
A lot of people who are almost persuaded are not in a good spot.
Right. Well, you know, it's just heartbreaking when you see people that you feel like the Lord's tugging at their heart, but the enemy's pulling them back the other way enough that they just can't turn loose and go. And maybe it's the concern about what others might think. I don't know, you know, what's going on in your mind, but
there's a lot of factors out there,
right,
that you just have to put aside and say, I know what will please the Lord, and that's to profess him.
Right, exactly. Monica, did you want to add your 2 cents worth?
Well, Monica don't want to, but the Lord has put it on my heart to.
I see.
So
okay.
There's that.
Yeah.
So we know who wins there.
Uh-huh.
So I want to touch on the subject of gay. As someone who used to be, as someone who has been corrected, had God not corrected me and led me to repent, and when I say repent, that does not only mean, oh Lord, forgive me, and then turn right around and get another girlfriend. Repent means turn away from and follow Christ. Mm-hmm. Had I not repented and turned away from that lifestyle, I would not have had the children that I have. I would not have had the amazing husband that I had. And when Mark passed away, that lifestyle did raise its head and start knocking. However, it is my responsibility to stay in a right relationship with my God and continue to stay pleasing to my Jesus, to speak to that and rebuke that lifestyle and not go back to that. I became very confused early in life due to traumas and anger, and it doesn't matter why. But now at 50 years old, I understand that I was just very confused. And the only cure for that was giving it over to my Jesus, to my God. And then to stay in that right relationship, which is not taking that back up. I've seen, you know, I cannot even watch TV anymore. I just don't. Because I don't want to give the enemy a door to my mind to bring that stuff back in. Because Monica wants to stay pleasing to her God. I want to stay in a right relationship. And it's not always easy. But it's so worth it to stay in that relationship with God and stay pleasing to my Jesus. I'm here to tell you today, if you're confused, and I assure you that's what it is, you're very confused. The enemy has you confused. It doesn't matter how you got confused, but I'm here to tell you today, Jesus is the cure.
Amen.
He can come into your heart, but you have to surrender and give him your whole heart. And then he will walk with you and sustain you and give you the strength that you need.
Amen. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. We had a few technical difficulties in the middle. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We appreciate you so much. As I said early in the program, Grant's Auction is our Facebook sponsor today. Have a blessed day from me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Tom. We appreciate you and love you. We'll see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.
I'm wondering, where's my promised land? Out here on this desert road, it's hot as fire, but I've grown cold. Circling like a plane that never lands. And even though the questions change, the answers always stay the same. Maybe someday I will understand. So I'm wondering, got me wondering, where's my promised land? Yeah, I'm wondering, still I'm wondering, where's my promised land? Well, I've run this earth for many years, if there's one thing I know, there's nowhere on this side of heaven the streets are made to go. I've long laid down my grand illusions, looking toward the day that I'll be home. I won't give up on this race, broken but I still have faith that this old life is all part of a plan. And I can feel it in my soul. One day I'll stand before the throne with nothing left but hope in these two hands. Through all these seasons, I'm still believing you're my promised land. And all my grieving, I'm still believing you're my promised land. Thank you.
If you haven't yet downloaded the free House FM mobile app, you should, because, I mean, it's free for starters, but obviously you're here and you love the station. So download the free app, listen to great music no matter where you go, and you can always communicate through the app at the bottom through the open mic feature. Would love to chat with you.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over.